Preparing in these summer parshios is unusual for me to do. Usually at this point in time, I'm retired and preparing for the upcoming year. However, due to a very special project, which is in memory of Rabbi Victor M. Salman, Rabbi Victor Mordechai ben Aaron Elchanan, there was an opportunity for me to be able to give a shiur, but Ilu Nishma So, and Parshas Ekev. With that in mind, I would like to discuss just a few only Israel stories that happened to me this past week, related to the concept of tefillin. That's at this point in time very meaningful for me, as I'll explain in a minute, and use that as an opening to the upcoming discussion of the parsha. This past week, I was very fortunate to go to the Kotel on Monday morning for the hanachas tefillin of my twin sons, my oldest children, Eliyahu and Yedidya Schneider, a big schus for me. And to be able to sit by the Kotel and put tefillin on only a few days after we sat by the Kotel and mourned over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash is a real opportunity for really many Jews. Many Jews come to Eretz Yisrael and they place their tefillin the first time on the Kotel. But living here and being able to do it with such ease was certainly very special, especially in light of the fact of having recently commemorated the day of Tisha B'Av. However, even more only Israel story, something that was very, very special for me and makes me so proud to be living here. Just yesterday, actually, I was going to fix my car. I had an issue with my car, and I went to a local auto shop. I wish I could remember the name because I should give it a shout-out. It's so deserving of one. While I was there, I was noticing on the side there were signs for various sales going on. There was a radio being sold at a cheaper price. And right next to the radio sign, there was an additional sign, and it said the following thing on it. It said on it, Yehudi Yakar, Tefillah Hanachta, Takdish Daka Mizmancha, V'tziskev Mitzvah Gdolah. And I looked underneath the sign over here, asking precious Jews, if you put tefillah on this morning, take a moment of your time and do a big mitzvah. I looked down on the very bottom, and there was a thing of tefillah in there. So I went to ask the owner. He's wearing a kippah. His name was Kobe. I said, Kobe, do people actually use this? They put it on every day? He says to me, every single day, kimat, someone comes and puts tefillin on. Can you imagine going to your local auto mechanic and being able to place tefillin on that is sitting there for the customers to use? What an unbelievable privilege and schus to be living in Eretz Yisrael right now, with that being a local car mechanic's care and concern. With that in mind, I'd like to address and analyze a little bit of this week's parsha, really the very, very beginning of it. Really the second word, actually, the name of the parsha, which is the word Ekev. If you look in the parsha, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Ekev Tishmu, Nesem Mishpatim Ha'ela. The word Ekev we're going to leave undefined for now. For listening to these Mishpatim, Ushmartim Vasisim Osam, if you perform them and you observe them, Hashem will help you, He'll protect you, as He promised to our forefathers. That's the first pasuk. But the word Ekev is a little bit difficult to know what it means. Now, we all know the famous Rashi. We'll get to it very soon. But I just want to take a few non as well known explanations of the word Ekev and apply it and understand how it fits into our lives as well. We will certainly move over to the more well known one in a few moments from now. But the word Ekev, according to Unklus, is the word Chalaf. Vihe Chalaf di tekablun yas dinaya. Chalaf means in exchange for it. And it's a fairly simple thing. We're saying right now, in exchange for your performance of the mitzvah, Hashem will keep His part of the deal. That's what Unklus brings down. Ekev, it just means in exchange for. But the truth is, usually when the word is im b'chukos ha'teilechu, im tishmu nasa mishpatim, the word Ekev still demands to be understood a little more, even if it could mean the word in exchange for, if you keep. It still is a very unusual word to use, though we do have it elsewhere. It still is not the most popular word to use for the word in exchange for, or if you will decide to keep it. So I want to discuss, if I can, just a few quick other explanations before I get into the one I would like to spend a few more minutes on. The Baal Turim actually has a fantastic, a beautiful idea, as he's known to do with gematrias. The word Ekev equals 172 in gematria, and he points out it's no coincidence that there are 172 words in the Ten Commandments, Esaras Adibros. And therefore what we learn from this is that for keeping the Esaras Adibros, that's what it's going to guarantee you all the promise that Hashem has for the Avos to continue in the promises and the relationship with Hashem that the Avos had. That will be through the Ekev, through the 172 words of the Aseret Dibros. And besides that, you can switch the letters around to get the word Keva, which means set, if you make Torah set for you, again, if you make it an important part of your life, according to the mission of Avos, I say Taras Chakeva, if you make it an important part of your life, then that also will lead you to all the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us. That's the way the Baal Torah explains Ekev. Again, not like the Unklus, the Chalaf, not in exchange for, but Ekev, the numerical value of it, Ekev, the word Keva, that's in reality what Hashem is expecting from us in order to give us the promises that are awaiting us for being the children of the Avos. The Ruach Chaim HaKadosh also has a unique shot, which I'll just bring down for a minute, and this really will be the springboard for the last part of this year, which I'll get back to. But the word Vayah, he points out, Vayah is usually a lashon of Simcha. Vayah, Ekev Tishmun. Some sort of Simcha level because of this Ekev. But what exactly is Ekev? So Ekev really means, according to the Ruach Chaim, it means the end. It means like the heel. Ekev is a heel. The heel, the end, the final part. In reality, the only Simcha you get is for keeping everything, when the whole package is done, when you've seen yourself succeed in performing the mitzvahs from Aleph to Tav and really working very hard. At the end of that, a person experiences true Simcha. So Ekev is not over here in exchange for it. It means if a person is able to see the whole thing through, then V'haya, then you'll be able to experience true joy. Again, I will get back to this point in towards the end of this Dvar Torah. But to move on again, still less mainstream approaches, the ones that we're less familiar with, I want to just take a minute to discuss the Alshech on this parsha. The Alshech points out that, again, the word Ekev, it does mean an exchange for, but it's a little different than we think it means. The Alshech points out that the Schar Mitzvah in this world we get is Ekev, is only because Tishmu Nesmash Matim Ha'ilah, because you listen to Hashem. When you listen to Hashem, then you get the true Schar Mitzvah. Now, what's the greatest Schar Mitzvah you can get? So over here he doesn't say, but look at the Pasuk tells us. Again, the schar mitzvah you will get for listening is Ushmartem Vizit Musam, his performance of more mitzvahs. There's an unbelievable pshat Rav Dessler brings down in the very beginning of his Sefer, Michtav Me'Eliyahu, where he describes it is an impossibility for a person to receive schar mitzvah in this world. Why is it so hard? There's a lot of great things in this world, a lot of pleasures in this world. He points out and he explains through the mission of Avos that if you would take all the pleasures ever received by anyone ever, whoever lived in this world, and you would take them into a syringe and inject them in a person's body, that would not compare to one small mitzvah he does what he gets for it in Shemayim. And the reason is fairly simple. Because anything that you do in this world, by definition, becomes finite. This world is finite, and therefore reward for this world would be finite as well. How could you possibly put a limitation on a mitzvah? The mitzvah is infinite. It's connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connecting to God. And therefore, the schar mitzvah you get would only be something that is not tangible, by definition. And therefore, because of listening, when you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you follow his mitzvahs, his mishpatim, so then at the end, you get schar mitzvah. The end meaning, what's the greatest schar we can get? Is the opportunity to do more mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The way, is shmartim v'asisim osam, you get the chance to do more mitzvahs. So over here, the Alshech is telling us, the idea of Ekev means, the exchange, chalaf, like the Uncle said, the exchange for doing a mitzvah is a chance to ushmartem vasisim osam, to do more mitzvahs. And that's what we have to have in mind as well, especially when we're talking about a shir, le'ilui nishmas, a person, a very special person. Even Mordechai ben Avram Elchanan is that the opportunity we have in this world to do mitzvahs is really our greatest reward, our greatest schar. Imagine you had someone that you were very close to and you admired so much and you did something for them. The greatest treat that you get is they trust you again to do something else for them, to spend more time with them. That's what the schar for mitzvah would be as well. On behalf of our work that we put forward, the greatest chance would be to continue to put forward more work. That's the pshat of the Alshech. Again, one more pshat before we get to the more mainstream approach and kind of take a twist on the mainstream approach. And that is the pshat of the Zahav Mishpah of Moshe Shmuel Shapira. So Rav Shmuel Shapira in Zahav Mishpah, he points out that the word Ekev means a heel. A heel is like something that kind of, it drags you down a little bit. It keeps you stuck. We know that Yaakov, when he was born, so he was holding on to the heel of Esav. It was it's something that slows you down. The Zahav Mishpah, the Rav Shmuel Shapira points out and says, the pasuk over here is telling you that the way that you get rewarded in this world and the bris of the Avos is not to get bogged down by things in life. He said it's very difficult in the end of the day when a person gets caught up in something, it's just hard to get yourself out of it. He gives a beautiful mushal. He's a mushal of a man who had a store, and this store was very, very successful, but for some reason it hit hard times. And he had to sell the store. And in exchange for the store, he decided he's going to buy himself a beautiful chariot with beautiful horses. and it would be the, like the Rolls Royce version of all the chariots and horses that were existing in that town, that city, and people would want to ride with him because he had such a beautiful area to sit in, and beautiful, strong horses that were a pleasure to see, and they'd rather take them over the rinky-dink horses that were around, that were his competition. And so he did. He sold all of his wares that he had left in the store, and he bought himself a beautiful chariot with beautiful seats and beautiful horses. And what he thought happened actually happened in the end. Everyone went to use him. And all the local chariot riders, the horse riders, the carriage and buggy drivers, they all realized the business was going down the drain, and they went to this guy. They said to him, "Listen, Nu, let's make a business together. Let's become partners." So he says, "Partners? I don't need you. Look, I have an unbelievable product over here, and I can do without you. So I'm gonna pass on the partnership." They said, "No, you're gonna need us. Trust me. What do you know about this business?" He says, "I'll tell you. This business I know about is that I'm currently right now top guy in sales. So again, it doesn't seem like I need much of assistance from you older drivers." The driver said back to him, "You don't understand. There's going to be a time when you're going to need us." He said, "Tell me the time." He says, "As the time goes on, you're going to go and take your with your horse and buggy and your chariot. You're going to hit a patch in the woods that you didn't know was really a hole, and you're going to need help getting out of it." So he said, "I don't need that. My horses are pretty strong. They'll get themselves out of it." "No," but they said back to him, "How about in the wintertime when it's slippery outside and you're really not going to be able to do it?" He says, "I'm a strong guy. Look at me. Look at my back. I could put a lot of weight on it. I'll get the horses out." So I said back to him, "You might be able to do that in the beginning of the winter season. But as winter season goes on, the very, very end, it's going to be really difficult for you to get your horses out of it, and you need our help for it." He thought to himself, he says, "You know what, they're right. I might need their help for that." So he says, "Okay, let's go into partnership. But now you have to tell me, when that happens, if I get stuck in the winter season, when it's icy and frozen and cold, and I can't get them out, what do I do? How do I avoid that from happening?" So the driver looks at him and says to him, "The way you avoid it from happening is don't get stuck in mud in the first place. You got to avoid that in the first place." Now, obviously, that wasn't much of a help. The guy knew that before him, but he made a deal, and they're partners now. But says Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, that's the shot of Akiv. Akiv refers to a heel, something that drags you down. The key to avoiding the problems that exist in life is not to get yourself in at all involved in these negative things. Today, I was in the NCCY Kollel listening to Rabbi Sebelovsky give a question and answer, and many of the students were asking about gambling and things of that nature, fantasy sports. And Rabbi Sebelovsky didn't really want to get into the isser or heter of it. It wasn't really his focus, even though he felt it was a serious thing and many halakhic issues. But he much more focused on what it leads to. As the Rabbi Vashuli pointed out, he told us that you don't understand the amount of damage it could do. So, after the shiur was over, we kind of rejoined in the room together, me and my students, and we discussed this. And every one of them admitted, myself included, to having at some point in time gambled. Made a bet with a friend on a sporting event or something of that nature. And listen, most people that we know, Baruch Hashem, at least we don't think, are involved in gambling addictions or problems in the future. And that might be true. But to get yourself, when you start it off, no matter how where it starts off, every single gambler has to start off somewhere. And when they take a path in life, when they get getting stuck in the mud, in the quicksand, that could be, that's where the greatest challenges come up. And that's the advice that Moshe Shmuel Shapiro is telling us. Is Akiv means the heel, which drags you down. That's what you must avoid if you want to really be part of the Bris Avos, of the Chesed Hashem promised us. We have to avoid getting stuck in the ruts in life that we may have that will cause us to be distracted from our true goals at hand. That was all a run-through recap of some of those pshatim that we just gave, of unique understandings of the word Akiv that maybe we weren't so familiar with up till now. We had the Unklus Chalaf in exchange for it, but really the word Akiv, which was a unique word to be used, why was it used in that case? So it's referring to something. Baal Turim says 172 numerical value of the Saras Adibros, or the idea of making Torah into Keva. That was Akiv Keva, same lashon, same words. The Ruach HaMakadosh, which we're going to get back to again towards the very end of this year, is the idea that Vahaya is a tremendous amount of Simcha, and it really only comes Akiv at the very end, heel end of a person's finishing and doing all the Torah. The Alshad pointed out that Akiv, when you listen to Hashem, as the next pasuk continues, the treat you get is you get to do more mitzvah, schar mitzvah. And the Zad Mishra we just mentioned, Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, again, brings down the concept of not getting stuck in the ruts that exist in our lives. However, the famous pshat is that of Rashi. Rashi brings down, he says, "Yima mitzvos hakalo she'adam dash ba'akvav tishmun." The promises awaiting us, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, is the mitzvah, if you perform the mitzvahs, that most people in the world look at it very lightly. They're not so important. People kind of trample on them with their heels. They walk over them. They don't treat them properly. That, if you listen to those, then I promise you great things in life. Now, what does it mean, mitzvah kala? In general, we assume all mitzvahs are of tremendous value. As a matter of fact, the Sefer Das Zakenim, the Bali Tosfos, points out that one of the most kala mitzvahs that we have, the easiest mitzvah that we have, is the mitzvah of Shulach HaKein, of shooing away the mother bird before you take the eggs. And one of the hardest mitzvahs we have, I went around the room and asked everyone, what's the hardest mitzvah? So many of them would nod their head if they heard the answer, kibud av va'em. It's a constant. It's very difficult for some reason. It's hard for us. And yet we know that the same reward, l'man arichun yamin, the idea of again, Chazal tells, doesn't mean this world, it means the next world, but you get long life. So what is a mitzvah that's kal? What's an easy mitzvah? They seem to have the same level of reward, the same level, the same treatments as those that are very difficult. So again, we have to understand better what is expected by us to be able to overcome these mitzvahs kalos that a person's dash ba'akvah, that a person tramples over. What's a mitzvah kala? So here we're going to see just two or three different shots of mitzvah kala before I return back to the Orach Chaim. As I mentioned earlier on, I will do. We'll start with the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar explains that Akiv refers to the chukim. And many of us are very quick to accept and to perform with great excitement and alacrity the mishpatim. Mishpatim are mitzvahs that we understand better. We know why you shouldn't steal. We know why you shouldn't kill. We're very on board with that. And those things we do with great fervor, great excitement, and feel close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to the chukim, the harder mitzvahs, I heard recently someone told me, this past year actually, that waiting to milk and meat. So that the whole concept of kashrus is more of a chuk. And the idea of waiting, particularly between milk and meat, is a chazal or matakin. Not only should we not eat them at the same time, but we should even wait between them. And some people, even though the family custom might be to wait 6 hours, they say to themselves, listen, that's, the whole thing is, I don't understand it. I'll wait three. I'll wait two. I'm not going to be makbid on these things. And the Kli Yakar is explaining to us that when you have a chok, that you basically say, I don't understand it, and therefore I'm going to keep it in a more haphazard way, less with a care and a real concern to keep it in all of its intricacies and its details, that comes in the shed light and everything else that you do as well. Every mitzvah that you keep right now, even the mishpatim that you keep with such excitement and fervor, is not really keeping mitzvah of God, you're keeping mitzvah of yourself. You like the mitzvah, it makes sense to you. It makes sense to you, so I'll keep it. But that now makes that when you don't keep the other mitzvahs, they don't make as much sense to you. You're not so careful with them, you're not so scrupulous with them. That means it sheds light on all the mitzvahs you're so good at. You're so good at davening, you're so good at asking God for things, because it makes sense to you. So in the end, it's not really a shame of Shemayim, it's really a shame of yourself in the end. And that's a terrible thing to have. So if we're able to start to take, says the Kli Yakar, the mitzvahs that most people will pass over, because they say to themselves, this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, I don't feel the need to work so hard in keeping it. So then it sheds light again onto the mitzvahs that we do keep well, that it's also only done because we feel like doing them. And that brings the notch down one level, it makes it much less l'shem shamayim. That's the Kli Yakar's approach as to what Akiv means. The less important ones in our eyes are the chukim, and if we don't keep those properly, that will shed light on the mishpatim as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, has a different approach. In a sefer called Drash Moshe, he gives two pshatim. I want to focus on the first one. He says that there are many mitzvahs we don't know that exist even. Sometimes you'll open a sefer up and you'll see there's a mitzvah there. You never heard of that mitzvah beforehand. Usually it happens to us while we're learning Mishnah Berurah for the first time, or we get to Israel for the year, and we kind of stumbled upon a law we never knew was even a rule at all. Or maybe you listen to a shiur of a rabbi in shul, and again, once again, you've heard it, but you never knew this was a mitzvah, and all of a sudden you learn about it. And you say to yourself, you know what? I want to learn more. I want to get to know more about this topic, and I want to analyze it more so I can practice it better. If only I knew what to do, I would do it. I would do it more often. The person has that attitude that he thinks that he's dash bakvav because he doesn't know any better, but he says to himself, I really want to know better. I do want to learn more. I want to open up Sfarim. I want to read more. That's what the Torah over here is stressing. For a person to say to himself, I want to know more. I want to do better. I want to learn. I want to expand my learning. Again, I mentioned the shiur is being sponsored for people who listen and want to know more and want to have chizuk in their lives. They don't want to feel complacent. They don't want to let things remain as they are and more stagnant in that way. So that's really this idea over here. Moshe Feinstein is saying that if you're going to be able to survive that and thrive in that which others are dash b'akvav, they don't care to know. They don't know. They don't care to know. And you say, no, I demand to know. That's how we can guarantee ourselves the great schuyos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us. This happens to be a very, if you look at it for a minute, it's very unusual. And most things in life that we spend time focusing on, usually we always want to get better. As a muscle, just a sports muscle, which is how I usually work. Kobe Bryant, a number of years ago, according to this my shiur in the past, he was, not anymore, he's a little bit on the downside of his career, very much on the downside of his career, but he... when he was at the height of his career, the best shooting guard in the world, or small forward, whatever position he played, So he wanted to improve his game. He wanted to go and learn post moves. He went to Hakeem Olajuwon, who was an unbelievable big man back in the day, and he learned some of the post moves of a center. Why would he need to do that? He's the best. He's the best in the world already, because the best want to be better as well in everything. Imagine a person who makes tons of money every single year. He wants to make more money the next year. A person who's the best husband in the world. He wants to be a better husband. In every area of life, you really are striving to really continue to grow. Except most people, with one exception, that's religion. Many people, when it comes to their religious practices, they feel like any extra would be, is not necessary. They're good. Look around. People in the world are not as good as they are. They feel like they're really performing the mitzvahs properly. They don't feel the need to really excel beyond what they're doing already. However, that's exactly what Moshe Feinstein is pointing out over here. Things that you don't know about, that you're not so good in, you're not aware of, etc., however you want to say it over, that, and particularly in those areas, is where a person has to thrive. If you say, I want to know more, I want to learn more, I want to get better at things, and that you make that your business to do, that's where, according to Moshe Feinstein, this promise of the connection with the Avos, Hashem wants to have with us as well. And it makes sense, if you think about it. The Avos themselves were people who were just like this. They could have looked around them and saw all the pagans around them and felt, listen, I'm much better than there, but they didn't stop. They never stopped, they never slowed down. They constantly worked to grow and grow and get closer to Kosh Baruch Hu. We know that Avram, the Gemara Baruch Hu tells us, invented Shacharis, Yitzhak invented Mincha, Yaakov invented Maariv. Why? They could have sat back and just, did what they did. They were better than everyone else was already. But they knew that the key was to constantly, push the envelope and continue to grow and set the bar even higher and higher. Never to settle, never become complacent. That's the pshat over here. B'akva, people are dash b'akva. They say, I don't need that. I'm already a good guy. So a person to rise above that issue is, in fact, according to Moshe Feinstein, the key to real success in their avodas Hashem. The second to last pshat I want to give over before I get back to this Orach Chaim I've mentioned already a few times is Rav Aaron Cutler, the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron on the parsha as well. He has a very unusual idea, a very beautiful concept that. Where he says the following thing. He says, there are many times we have in life that there are things around us we take for granted. We do them, but we don't appreciate how important they are. Things that we see every day, like the mushal, I'll give a mushal, something that probably comes up a lot to many of us, is a bracha. I'll give a bracha, the bracha of Zokev Kfufim in the morning. It's a bracha that we say every single day, Pokeach Ivrim in the morning. So those are things that we kind of say and we kind of gloss over. We say them every day, we run through them, you don't really focus much time on them. Again, this past summer, we had the schuss of having Levi Greenspan in the kollel for a few weeks. And the boys, it's what I call boys who had time to spend with him, were blown away by his unbelievable righteousness and his love of every Jew and of the Torah. And when you see someone like Levi, and you hear him say he misses more than anything else in the world to be able to learn Torah, so how could you not make a bracha pokeach ivrim with more kavanah? But most people don't. Maybe it lasts for a day, 2 days. But they eventually forget about it again. They stumble over that bracha every single day. It's hard to really focus on it. We said we had Tisha B'Av. We had the bracha of Nachim on Tisha B'Av, where I remember when I said this year, I so much want to have in mind every time I daven Shmoneh Esrei, Bonei Yerushalayim. Don't forget how important that is. Though there is a city of Jerusalem that we live in, but the Beis HaMikdash and the Kedusha is not the way it once was. Not even close. So you want to have kavana, but Yerushalayim should be something that we're filled with kavana with when we say that bracha. However, oftentimes we find ourselves, though we're excited to say it, it becomes routine. We said it for many, many years already. And we kind of fall back into our old habits. Rav Aaron Cutler is pointing out that this is what it's referring to over here. Something that you walk on. You walk on normally. You see it all the time. You stumble over it. But the truth is, it's the opposite. The things that we do regularly really is what separates the men from the boys. The people who do those basic things well all the time, that shows how truly connected they are. L'mashal, Rav Aaron Cutler points out and says that when both Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech were tested the first time by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was based upon their unbelievable concern and care for the sheep that they were shepherding. Why was that the test for Moshe Rabbeinu? The test for David HaMelech. The reason why is because that demonstrates a certain prevailing behavior they have towards life, how they look at life. It's so easy to take for granted one little sheep, a little shepherd. Solo. Who cares? He ran away. He has so many more. But it shows you the tremendous care they had in this area that's so basic, and that therefore would extend and be woven through every other area of their life. And that's over here what Rav Aaron Cutler points out. As a matter of fact, the Simchas Yisrael Broi in the Sam Derech has a pshat that is also very complimenting of this idea. He quotes there's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah. And Daf Yud Ches on Aleph, where he points out also that there are things that you don't value in life. That's what Akiv is like. And he said that there's a very tremendous danger that one encounters when he does things without thinking. He's so used to doing this mitzvah, he always does it, and therefore he does it without thinking sometimes. I'll give you an example again of this, which is a terrible thing, but I'm not sure, hopefully none of us have done this before, but I know that some people have, is that you text while you're driving sometimes. Again, not, I don't mean you're sitting there texting instead of driving, but you push a button while you're looking at the road, push a button, it's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous to turn your eyes away from the road and you do things without thought. It's crucial that a person thinks about what he does before he does them. And he quotes actually an unbelievable, this Sam Derech quotes an unbelievable Meiri in the Hakdamah to Maseches Brachos, in the very beginning, before in his parish to Maseches Brachos, in the Mishnayos, the Meiri points out and says, he rereads the pasuk that we know called Eis Lasos Lashem Eferu Sorosecha, which means literally that when the time is necessary for Hashem, you're allowed to kind of read into the Torah a little deeper, find a loophole in the Torah in order to do something on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he reads it very differently. He is a little bit of a drush, and it's an unbelievable pshat he gives in the Meiri. He says the following, Eis Lasos Hashem, there are times in life when we have the opportunity to do things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get close to God. We have different, it could be holiday seasons, we're about to start Elul, which is a scary thought. In a little over a week, we started the month of Elul preparing for the Yemei HaDin. So this is a time, is Eis Lasos Hashem, is a time that's in our calendar for the purpose of getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, we miss that. Heferu Torah Secha. We let the Torah slip away. We annul the opportunity. We leave the opportunity by the wayside. We don't pick up on it. And we let it go. We don't take him seriously enough. This is the Pshat of Sam Derech and the Pshat as well that we mentioned just now in Rav Aaron Cutler's Sefer, Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, that Akev, what does it mean when people trample with their heels? It means things that you encounter regularly. You encounter all the time. The opportunity is existing for us to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and yet we let it go. We let it slip through our fingertips. And that's in fact what's meant over here with this concept of dash ba'akvav. The person will work harder in those things that he encounters that most people trample on because they see him all the time. If you make your brachas bokeach ivrim with more kavana, because you see a lovely greenspan and you can make it with you, you make your born in Yerushalayim bracha and transfer every single day because you remember not only right after Tishba, but every single day how important, how much we want this to be, how much the basic midrash is so lacking in our lives and our lives are lacking because of that. That, if you take that seriously, that's what people are dash ba'akvav. That will allow us to get all the great promises and rewards in connection to Kadosh Baruch. Okay, I've been promising this for the entire shmooze over here, and now I'll get back to it finally. This unbelievable shot of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, describing only at the end of the day the true sitkut will come in. I want to take a few minutes, if I can, just to analyze this idea. There's a medrash, the very beginning of Parshas Ekev. I'll read the medrash inside, just the first few lines of it. It says, Halacha Adam Yisrael Sheishal Menorah Shasuya Prakim Prakim Ma'u L'Taltala B'Shabbos. Discussing, what's the din with a Jew? Can a Jew carry with him? Can he move a menorah that was made of different pieces, different branches? So I move it on Shabbos. And the Midrash there quotes, Kach Shanu Chacham L'Chacham taught, Hamarkiv K'nei Menorah B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. That a person who puts together, he connects the different branches of the menorah, is Chayiv Chatas, meaning it's us for him to handle the menorah on Shabbos. Now the question comes up, many ask this question, and I saw quoted the name of the Chassam Sofer, a beautiful idea. They ask, what in the world is the connection of this medrash, the menorahs, the pieces of the menorah, carrying it together, how is that kashur to a discussion of the being a parsha, of Parsha's Ekev? That's the question that many ask. I want to focus on the Chassam Sofer's shot that he gives over in this though. He goes back to last week's parsha, the end of Parsha's Veschanan. So the very, very last pasuk says, "V'shamarta es haMitzvah v'asachukim v'asamishpatim asher anochim etzavcha hayom lasosam." Famous Rashi there says, "Hayom lasosam bolam hazeh." In this world, you do ulamachar laolam haba litoscharam. The mitzvah we have, I mentioned earlier on as well, in the name of the Al Sheikh, there is no reward in this world. Again, the reward we get is another mitzvah chance. We get to do another mitzvah. That's the greatest chance we can get in this world is another mitzvah. But the actual reward, the prize waiting for us in the next world, happens in the next world. Chassam Sofer asked the following question. He quotes the Gemara in Erevin Daf Chav Beis that this concept, Hayom lasosam, Olamach lasosam, only today can we do the mitzvahs and not tomorrow, not in the next world. Today we do mitzvahs and tomorrow we get reward for them. But it says in Vayikra, in Perek Yutas Pasuk Yagimel, Lo salim pu'la sachir. You're not allowed to, the worker is not allowed to leave his workmen and not pay the wages that are owed them. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is not paying our wages. We're working for 120 years. Whatever unit of time you can imagine, 120 years seems to be beyond that unit of time. How can it be But the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us that we give our workers their pay on time. He does not pay us on time. We work for years and years, decades, sometimes even a century or more. And yet we're promised that there will not be any reward given to us, at least not real reward, until after it's all said and done. So Chassam Sofer asks, sounds like a violation of the principle of lo salin pu'ulas sakhir. That's the question that Chassam Sofer asks. He has a very beautiful idea, which I want to share with you, which goes back to this Orach Chaim that we quoted. And the idea is as follows. There is no end, Chassam Sofer tells us, to a pu'ulas mitzvah. You do a mitzvah, I mentioned up till now, what happens next? You get the next test coming your way. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah, the next chance comes. Everything you do is one more rung on the ladder to build up to getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moments are not separated. It's not a separate moments. You can't pause and there's a lot of, actually nowadays they have a lot of these unbelievable technological advances where you're able to take, let's say, a pitching motion. A person who's a pitcher, and you're able to break down every single iota of the windup of the delivery. You can see each thing becomes an independent part of the windup. But in life, it doesn't work that way. In life, every single thing is leading to something else. There is no separate moment. The day never ends. The chance for us to say, listen, I'm done my work for the day, let's cash it in, doesn't exist. We know actually that Yaakov Avinu, you know, wanted to have a time like that where you kind of get to cash it in Vayeshev. You wanted to sit and retire. And Hashem says, I'm sorry, it's not what happens for a tzaddik in this world. There is no retiring. In this world, you work hard until it ends. The unit of time is your life. That's unit of time. As a matter of fact, the idea that we don't have separate units like that we don't have independent units, is found in the Masechet Brachos. The Tosfos there discusses why is it that when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, we have only one bracha we make every single day and not more. When it comes to Leishah B'Sukkah, you walk in the Sukkah, out of the Sukkah, you make another Leishah. But how come Birchas HaTorah, we don't have separate brachos every time you sit and open the Sefer up? When I say after Shacharit, I learn some Mishnayos. I have my lunch break, I learn a little more. I should make a new bracha. Why not? Tosfos points out that we never have a moment that's free of learning Torah. Torah is we never have Hesach Hadas. There's not a moment in a day when we lose focus of the idea that we're supposed to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the learning of Torah. Now, it's true that when the day ends, we go to sleep and our bracha runs out. But the time for us to continue to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu never runs out. It's just building up and building up every single day more and more. The Ma'asim Tovim that we have in this world are like the prakim that were described by the pieces of the menorah. Pieces and pieces. When someone dies, and only then is the object finished. And therefore, the prakim of the menorah is pieces of our lives. Day in, day out, we have Ekev. We have this idea of building up. If you listen, if you will listen to the mishpatim, it's not a one-time thing. It's every single day. You do a mitzvah, boom, you put it aside. That's one parak of your menorah. But the menorah is never finished until it's completely built. Our lives can never be reflected on, can never be paid back until you have all the whole body of work to go with. And there's a few reasons why that might be the case. Let's go back to the Orach Chaim again. The Orach Chaim points out and says, Vayaz lashon of simcha, ekev, only because when the whole thing is said and done. What does it mean, the whole thing? Your life. When your life is said and done, you're able to reflect on it and to appreciate what you've done and then to get the true reward. Today we did it, actually, in my Entzalai Kol Shir, we did the Gemara Brachos on, I think it's on Daf Chav Ches Saman Aleph, Chav Tes Saman Aleph, something like that. Where it says that Al Ta'amin Ba'asbecha Ad Moscha, you should never trust in yourself until the end of your life. You can't trust in yourself. Yochanan Kohen Gadol served for 80 years as a Kohen Gadol, and the end of his life, says the Gemara, became a Tzduki. His Machlokas in the Gemara, exactly who he was. Was he Yanai? Was he Yochanan? We don't know exactly the stories of Machlokas in the Gemara. But the bottom line is, a person is not able to really reflect upon his life and his successes until all is said and done. And therefore, the menorah, the pieces of the menorah, the reason why it's an issue is only when you put it together, when you build it, when it's bona. Ekev this ruins means you can't until everything's finished. At the very end, Ekev, heal, the end. When the end's all said and done, then and only then can you really get everything out of life and know exactly how much you succeeded. And the reason why we said mentioned this again is as follows. Number one, that every action you do leads to the next. There is no independent action when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Each thing leads to something else. Number two, there's also an idea that you can do tshuva for good or for bad. I can do 80 years of great avoda. And if I want to, Rav Chanan Wasserman points out, tshuva is not only for people to correct their bad deeds, they correct their good deeds also. The Siva Shalom points out, that we say every day in Maariv, we say, Vaser Satan milufaneinu me'acharenu. This is on Parshas Chayesari, points out at the very beginning. He says that, what does it mean to be Maser Satan me'acharenu, to remove a Satan from behind us? We've passed it already. The Satan, what he does is after we do something great, imagine we have a scenario comes up and there's a great game on TV and all your friends are going to watch it, but you have this Night Seder. You say, I'm going to learn Night Seder. You learn. And the game was unbelievable. The best game ever. Duke, Kentucky. That Christian Leitner, last second shot. Unbelievable ending. and you hear about the game later on, you're like, oh, I should have gone and watched it. You did tshuva. I did tshuva from doing my good deed. I wish I hadn't done it. I wish I did my bad deed. And therefore, if that it works, says Rechon Wasserman, it works. You're able to uproot your good deeds through tshuva, just like you can uproot your bad deeds through tshuva. What that means is that how can you possibly get real schar in this world until Akiv, until all is said and done? Only when it's said and done, v'hayah, can you have true simcha, as Or HaChaim said. Because then you know that you're able to succeed in life and never turn back and never regret what you did that was positive. And that also makes plain a famous medrash that's very difficult to understand. So we think about it right now. It says, at the end of the creation of the world, the end of 6 days, v'yi tov ma'od, it was very good. And there, Chazal say, quotes in medrash, tov ha'mavis. What does tov ma'od mean? Death. Death is good. Now most of us know death is not good. It's sad. It's hard for us. We miss someone. But over here, with this pshat, now makes a new way to understand it. If our whole life we're trying to serve HaKadosh Baruch, we're trying to get closer and closer to God, that's our whole purpose in life, we only know we succeeded when the game's over. If we're doing beautifully and we're working so hard for 80 years, we're the Kohen Gadol. It's not over until you leave the world with your record in place, unblemished, consistent, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea over here as well, of the Or HaChaim V'hayah. That's the true simcha is only at the end of days, when we know that we've put in our full effort. And that's why it's important to discuss also now when it comes to a yurt side of someone. When you reflect upon someone's life, the true happiness and greatness is realizing that not only did they put through in their lifetime, they put through efforts, but that lasted a lifetime. And the entire time through, there was tochel kibor, there was efforts, there was consistency. And when you hear about someone like that in the world, that truly makes us feel the significance of how to live our lives, how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To quickly recap again, the parsha of Akiv is a parsha, that word is a difficult word to understand. Whether it means, not the way Rashi explained it, things that were dashbak, but rather the mitzvahs of Aseret Dibros, or the whole body work a person does, we're not getting stuck in the ruts and the heels and the things that it's hard to get out of. Or it means, as we mentioned, the mitzvahs that are hard for us to do. Why it's so hard for us to do, it could be many reasons. We just see them all the time, we don't know about them at all, we don't know anything about them, they're chukim to us, whatever it may be. We learn from over here the significance, the importance of always trying to persevere, never letting ourselves lose focus, that we're in one huge, big day of avoda. And at the end of the day, there will be a pulas sachir. Hashem will give us what we deserve in the end. When the whole body of work is over, we should be zoche to be able to have a body of work that we look back on, that we're proud of, that our children are proud of, that our grandchildren are proud of, and that all of Klal Yisrael is proud of. Have a great Shabbos.